very true for me this week with this passage. Now, I put this, if the slides are working, T, you might have to go to the next one for me. There we go. Bit of context, Paul was on his third missionary journey, and this is Ephesus right here, and this is Miletus. So Paul was sailing back through to Jerusalem, and we read in the verse 16 that he wanted to be back in Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. And so I really just put this map up here so I can use the pointer thing to show you. But a bit of context for you there. This is actually really interesting because Paul, throughout the book of Acts, is talking and he's preaching, proclaiming the gospel, but right here is a very small snippet of Paul the pastor. It's a very beautiful thing. We get to see that. Paul speaking to the elders of the Ephesians church, and he's pastoring them. Now, if you read further on, after verse 24, Paul is getting into encouraging them and making them be aware of false teachers. But right here, he's reminding them of how he came to them. And we read that Paul is telling them, I know what awaits me in Jerusalem. I know what's coming for me. The Holy Spirit has testified to me. And he knows that he's probably going to be imprisoned. But Paul says this profound statement. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel, the grace of God. It's a very big statement that Paul's making. I want to read to you a few different translations to help you hear and maybe understand a bit more from the NLT. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. From the ESV, but I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. From the NIV, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of the grace of God. And then if you actually read it in direct translation from the Greek, it sounds like this. But not any account, I make my life dear to myself, so as to finish the course of me and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify fully the gospel of the grace of God. Now, the Greek word here for word, when it says that, is actually logos. Now, we've heard that word a lot. It's translated many different ways, you know, cause, communication, word, statement, speech. And the Greek word here for dear is timios, valuable, precious, costly, honored, esteemed. It's pretty clear what Paul is saying. His life is not worthy of making a word about it, because it's not the most important thing to him. So what is the most important thing? We see it right here. To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, Paul went through a lot. You know, I think a lot of us know the things that he's been through. And here he is, still making this profound statement. So my thought is, what is Paul doing? What is Paul's mindset that's able to get him to say this? Now, can we apply this directly to us? Yes, I think we can. Not all of us have been called into the ministry like Paul was, to go on mission trips and to proclaim the good news to the ends of the earth like that. No, we aren't all evangelists, but we are all called to evangelize. We are all called to witness. We are all called to go make disciples. That was the Great Commission from Jesus. Go make disciples. Simply to testify to the gospel, the grace of God, the good news of God. This is the same mission. We have this. Now, a lot of people don't like to hear that. Oh, no, 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 no. Cam, that's your job. You're the evangelist. You go out. That's Greg's job. That's look at these guys. They're up the front every Sunday talking about the amazing stuff they do on Saturday. I'll leave the witnessing to them. Now, I don't want your ears to turn off and think, here's Cam just giving another notice to evangelize. No, because we can apply this to every aspect of our life. Because this is the beautiful thing about the gospel, is it accompanies everything we do, every step we take. When I wake up, what's my thought process? What is the most important thing for me today? Now, I struggle so much with this, making a word about my life, putting my life as valuable. I think I shared last time I spoke about when I'm at work and I'm playing with the kids, playing football or soccer, and I shoot a shot and I miss. They call names at me, so I have to go get the ball and show them up, slam dunk on them to heal my ego that I have, to prove that I'm better than them. That's making a word about my life. It is. That's something that I'm daily trying to stop doing, you know? Or another one that I really struggle with is when I'm in a group sitting with my friends and we're all sharing stories, someone shares a story that they've done and straight away I think, oh, I've got a story like that. And I straight away want to add in my story to one up them, tell my thing, make it about me. Or if you want to even overthink even more like I do, I've learned to not do that and ask questions. But now I'm realizing that I'm only asking those questions so that they ask the question back to me. And then I get to share my story. Now, some of you may be able to relate to that. Now, when I was down in Dunedin last weekend, I was talking with Olivia and Daniel about this. And we were just going around in circles about it. But then we got to a point where it all comes back to the heart. Where's the heart behind it? Where's Paul's heart? Paul's heart right here is that his life is not the most important thing. He doesn't want to make it about him. Because if he did that, he would not be able to finish his race with joy. Now, Paul's in this place where he knows death is coming to him. He knows it awaits him. Andre and I love to say out in the street that the stats are 10 out of 10 people die. It's just a reality. It's going to happen to all of us. We don't know when it's going to happen. Our lives are so finite, so we have to weigh it up. What is the most valuable thing to me? And when we look at our actions throughout the week, we can sit back and see, oh, right there, that was a moment where I wanted to make my life comfortable. That's where I wanted to make my life satisfying and easy. And when we put this into the full context, the most important thing is sharing the good news. We let so many things that we want stop us from sharing the good news. Oh, that guy looks a bit too scary. Oh, I don't know, they might judge me if I talk about my faith. I think it was a couple of weeks ago we were at Bible study, and I can't remember who I was talking to about it, but they were telling me, when someone asks them, hey, what did you get up to on the weekend? They forget to say church. They'll just say, oh, the usual. What is in us that is stopping us from saying the truth? It's pride. Sorry if that sounds harsh. That's it. It's pride. We care more about our lives than what God wants. And we complain. I was asking someone this morning, is it okay for a Christian to ever complain? I think no. Now we look at the Bible, we see in the Psalms a lot of lamenting. Lamenting is not complaining, not at all. We look at Job. Job was questioning God, but Job wasn't complaining. It says in Philippians that there should be no grumbling at all come out of our mouths. But how often do we grumble? How often do we complain and make life about us? Oh, it's too hot in this room this morning for me. Oh, it's too cold. Oh, the preacher's preaching for too long. I want to get back to my tea and coffee. Oh, these worship songs. They just don't sound good. The music's too loud. I'm sorry, guys. It's not about you. If you've made this decision to put your faith and trust in Christ, you've made it so clear that you now have to live a life of self-denial. You know, Jesus says, anybody who wants to follow me must take up their cross daily, deny themselves. How are you going with that? How are you genuinely going with that? It's a big challenge. I remember the first time I got convicted about this, it was just every day there was new things that were coming up where I'm realizing, right there, I'm making my life about me, right there. You know, I'm not married, I pray I do one day, but I'm already thinking about, if I had a wife right now, far out, I'd be sinning a lot because of my mindset of how selfish I am. How selfish I am. I've just moved house and somehow my dad has allowed me to have the room with the ensuite. And I was talking to Luke yesterday that it's going to prepare me a lot. You know, I've never had to really look after my own bathroom before, and it's probably going to reveal a lot of things that I need to work on in my life, you know. Even just toothpaste. I always use my dad's toothpaste. But even right there, in these, you know, finite examples, we can see our need for Jesus. We can use these examples, but there is such a need for him to help us, to make us more like him, so that we can finish this race with joy. If we're making it about us, we're not going to be able to finish this race with joy, this life, this mission that we've been given to proclaim the good news. So I ask you again, do you make a word about your life when someone says something to you? When someone does something that might offend you? Do you sit there and go, that's not right, nah, that upsets me? We need to have this eternal perspective. So going back to Paul, what got Paul through knowing all these hard things that was coming towards him? The potential stoning, the terrible imprisonment. What helps Paul overcome himself and his own desires? He cares more about God than himself. Paul cares more about God and God's will, what God wants, for people to come to repentance, for people to hear the good news. So what about you? Do you care about what God wants? I think when I ask that question, you'll hear you straight away thinking, yeah, 100% can, because it would be wrong of you to say no, obviously. But does your life reflect that? Did your thoughts this morning reflect that when you woke up? What was the first thing you went to? What are you thinking about right now? Are you thinking about lunch? Are you thinking about what you're doing this afternoon? Are you thinking about things going on with Mother's Day? Or are you thinking about God? I don't want you to be thinking about me. Tony. Whoever it is preaching. Do you care about God? Have you come to this point of being like, my life is worth nothing. There's no value in my life. I want what God wants. You know, I struggle a lot with evangelism. I really do. You may not think that, but every time I go out, I'll walk past 5-6 people at the start of the day and just, man, it's scary, too scary, too scary, too scary. But then I have to remind myself this thing. If I'm choosing to not talk to this person, I'm sitting there saying that my comfort is more important than God's will. It's a convicting thought. When you go to that coffee shop, there's the barista there. She asks you, what did you do on the weekend? What are you going to say? Or when someone asks for advice, what are you going to say? Are you going to care about what God wants, or are you going to care about yourself? So, you may say, okay, Cam, that's great. Thanks for telling me this verse that is pretty obvious what it's saying. So how do I care more about what God wants? How do I care? I could stand here for a long time and tell you all the things that I've tried and done. But you need to go to God and spend time with Him and ask Him that question. Because if you're a believer, born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you, He's going to reveal these things to you. When you spend time with Him, when you read His Word, He's going to make you more like Him. What a beautiful thing that is. In Romans 8, it talks about being conformed into the image of God. You can look at Paul's life and how he's responded to all these trials and see where he goes to. He goes to God first. He goes to God first every single time. I tell myself that so much, Cam, you just got to go to God. I was talking to someone last week about a theological conversation about the Holy Spirit. And we were talking about, what about people who just feel spiritually empty? Or use the word spiritually depressed? Or I feel really low right now. We sat there and there was a bit of silence for a bit. And she asked me, what do you think, Cam? Like, how do we respond to that? And because of my experience that I've had, especially in the last couple of years, of being at that point, of being at my absolute low, of feeling spiritually empty, I wish I could sit there and say, oh, I just needed more of the Holy Spirit. But in reality, I wasn't reading my Bible. I wasn't praying. I wasn't spending time with God. I wasn't caring about what God wants. Now, I'm not sitting here and saying that that is everybody. You know, I don't know fully your life, your story, what's going on. But from my experience and from just talking to people, everybody could be spending more time with God. Everybody can be caring more about what God wants. And to sit there and say that, oh, I just have less of the Holy Spirit, but to turn away from the reality of how you're spending your day-to-day life, I think is quite foolish. And I'm saying that because I love you. You may be wounded by that, to hear that from me. But I love you enough to want to give you the hard word. I'm happy to do it. Because sometimes it's hard to tell your wife or tell your husband or a friend. I'm blessed to be in this position where I can say that. But we need to care more about God. It's simple. But very hard in reality to live out. And so that's why I come back to the gospel every single time. And look at Jesus as an amazing example of what He did for us, of what He went through. Of how He knew what was coming for Him. And He endured the cross for us. We look at Paul. Paul knew what was coming for him. But he counted his life worth nothing. We know what's coming for us. As Christians, we will face trials. So what are you going to do? Are you going to make it about you? Or are you going to make it about Him? Message is simple today. And I want to encourage you to hold each other accountable with this. It's very easy to sit there and just listen while someone else complains about things in their life. But the loving brother and sister will give them that harsh word. But you got to check your heart. Is it coming from a place of love first? So I want to encourage you today to go home, spend time with God, ask Him, God, what can I be doing to care more about You so I can testify to the gospel of the grace of God? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your word. Thank You so much for Paul and his example that He set for us. Help us, God, in our weakness to not be ashamed of the gospel. Help us to deny ourselves. Help us to care about You and Your desires and Your just things that You want to do. Help us to spend more time with You in Your word and prayer and fellowship with one another. God, I pray again, if there's anything that was of me, let it fall on deaf ears. But everything that's of You, let it remain. Convict us more day to day. Help us become more like You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.